For the past 20 years, we've been calling Miller Park home, and that's not going to be an easy habit to break. But the business of baseball is all about generating as much cash coming through that door, and we're going to explore why companies want to shell out the millions to have their name on a stadium. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. How do you feel about the potential for American Family Insurance Park? How do you feel about Miller Park getting a new name? Is this just the business of advertising, or does it cut deeper into the identity of the stadium and the people who fill the seats? Questions we'll ponder with your input in the mix at 800-642-1234. Go ahead and tweet us at WPR Mornings. Steve Knoll is a marketing professor at Madison College. Steve, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
So beloved Miller Park will no longer be Miller Park, at least not until 2021. But when American Family Insurance will replace Miller Brewing as the naming rights sponsor for the stadium, first of all, help us understand, how big of a deal is this?
Well, it is a pretty significant deal, but I can't really say it's out of the ordinary. This is definitely the trend in stadium naming rights. And it's something that's going to be around for a while. It's a 15-year deal. So people are going to have to, they're going to have a lot of time to discuss this idea.
So when you say trend, do you see an uptick in companies going after stadiums naming rights?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. This is, in the last 20 years, really with the rise of the internet, we have seen a fundamental shift in advertising opportunities for businesses. Specifically, less things like traditional commercial advertising is as effective. So, businesses still need to get their name out there, and they've been turning to more and more alternative ways of doing it. And one of the most successful ways has been stadium right naming.
So the financial terms of this deal won't be made public. That only leaves us guessing as to how much was spent here. Is it a fair assumption, though, that we're talking about a lot of money?
Oh, yeah. There's been some research about how much value is there to each specific stadium out there. Miller Park has been valued to be worth about $2.5 million a year in exposure for advertising. So even though we don't know exactly how much they're paying for it, we can guess it's right around that area. Certainly, if they're paying under that, they got a deal. If they're paying over that, then, the Miller Park people got a deal.
In the case of American Family Insurance, what is the strategy here? Why did they want their name on Milwaukee's baseball stadium?
Well, part of it is American Family Insurance has been really upping their name recognition, especially local. They're still considered more of a regional company, and they're really trying to anchor their local business, which is a really, really smart move. And if you're going to name a stadium, the one thing that gets consumers to be more receptive on that is if it's more of like a hometown type feel of the company, people are going to be more comfortable with that. And this is kind of a long-term process. I mean, this isn't the first naming rights that American Family has done. So certainly this is part of a bigger vision that they have to really reinforce their name locally. And I think it's a really smart move for them to do something like this.
What else have they done? Where else is their name out there?
Well, Summerfest, that's the other big thing they did. And interesting enough, it's in Milwaukee. They've got naming rights to the amphitheater there now. So little things like that is just going to help the consumer hear their name more often. And that's really why you would name a stadium, is that way your name is heard over and over and over again. It's referred to it as TOMA, or top of mind awareness. And it's something that an existing company can do to really help cement their brand in a consumer's mind. If you're a brand new company and you're trying to get your name out there, doing a naming right to a stadium is not a smart idea because people don't know what it is. But most people already know what American Family Insurance is. So all they really need to do is just keep their name out there on a consistent basis. And of course, anytime, you know, people buy tickets, they, you know, see commercials or hear commercials for upcoming games, they're going to hear the name American Family Insurance or some variation of it. That's the big thing. We don't know what they're actually going to call the stadium, which is, that's kind of the fun part about this.
Steve Noel is with us. He's a marketing professor at Madison College. We're talking about Miller Park getting a new name in 2021 and that the Brewers have inked a new naming rights deal with American Family Insurance. Do you think naming rights are a good investment for companies? What do you see as the upside, and what questions do you have about why companies put out the big bucks for naming rights? We're at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can go ahead and tweet us at WPR Mornings. Steve, there are only so many stadiums and only so many arenas. Do we see a lot of competition for the naming rights of these facilities?
Well, we do and we don't. I mean, these are big dollar deals. You know, if you think about just the Miller Park deal, just let's just say it is, you know, $2.5 million a year. It's a 15-year deal. So you're talking, you know, it's 30-something million dollars for this. That's a lot of money, and not a lot of businesses can, you know, afford something like that. You know, the other thing, too, is there are only a certain amount of arenas and stadiums out there. So, you know, limited inventory. So there is a little bit of a competition. I have to admit, there is some prestige to doing something like this. You know, a lot of companies with budgets like that might be kind of saying, hey, why didn't we think about doing that? And that was really the interesting thing. What we don't know about this is, what was the reasoning behind with the Miller Park people as to say, hey, we're going to, you know, give up this naming right? And it's my understanding that American Family approached them with a pretty good deal. Mm. But, you know, again, we don't know all the story behind it and whether or not it would have gone to somebody else if American Family hadn't stepped up to the plate, so to speak, with something like this.
Let's go to Jerry now, joining us from Lake Mills with thoughts on this. Jerry, hi.
Hi. I feel it's egregious since they're going to spend this enormous amount of money on a naming rights when they charge a surcharge if you don't pay your premiums in full at the time that they bill you for it. People simply don't have $1,000 or $500 or whatever to pay their premiums at one time. Yes, they say, okay, then why don't you just let us deduct it from your bank account and monthly.
Yeah, well, so Jerry really is concerned about cash flow here. There is a lot of money that you have to pay to go to these games. We're seeing a lot of money being exchanged for naming rights. You know, where's all this money going, Steve Noel?
Well, it's business. It's just part of the process of business. Money has to come in, money has to come out, and part of any company's, you know, operating budget needs to be marketing and advertising. They have to keep their name out there in order to, you know, get new customers and to also to establish a connection with existing customers. If you've been a long-term customer with American Family Insurance and you like baseball, you're going to enjoy hearing that name of your insurance company every time you're tuning in or going to a baseball game. It makes you feel like you've done the right deal.
And let's pause right there. Steve Noel, we're talking about why companies go after naming rights. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Where is the reward? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation in a minute on the Ideas Network. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Brewers announced on Twitter a week ago that, quote, American Family Insurance will succeed Miller Coors, the title sponsor of Miller Park, since the ballpark opened in 2001. And they went on to say the future name and branding elements for the stadium will be announced at a later date. Here's Brewers COO Rick Schlesinger from MLB.com.
If nothing else, I respect the fans, and we like the passion, good or bad. But I think at the end, I think the fans will appreciate it. And this is good for Milwaukee. It's good for the Brewers.
We're talking about why companies go after naming rights and why these contracts are so lucrative to teams like the Brewers. Do you feel attachment to Miller Park? What is in a name? Does it matter what we call stadiums or buildings or schools? Are you happy about this change? Call in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Madison College marketing professor Steve Knoll stays with us. Steve, you know, Twitter just went on fire about this when this news broke. Why do you think fans got so up and around Twitter on this?
Because it's Twitter. You know, that's the thing. Twitter is just, you know, a voice to be heard. So, you know, the research shows that only about 15% of fans will probably not be happy about this. In the grand scheme of things, that's a relatively small number of the population. But of course, they're extremely vocal, and they're going to use a tool like Twitter to express their views right now. But I would imagine by the time the actual name switch happens, a lot of people are going to be used to this, and it's going to be kind of a non-issue. There will always be a handful of people that will not like this. They will say, well, I'm going to refuse to call it that. I'm always going to call it Miller Park, you know, which is fine. But ultimately, you know, it's going to take about 5 to 7 years for the name to kind of sink in with the general public. But it's a 15-year deal, so they've got some time.
Will it change the purchasing behavior of Brewers fans? Could that have an impact?
Probably not. I mean, again, we're talking about a relatively small number of people that would, you know, potentially be upset about this. And, you know, at the end of the day, if a person is a fan of the Brewers, you know, if they're a real big baseball fan, the name of the stadium really shouldn't be a negative deterrent to it. Now, obviously, are there people out there that this just might, you know, psychologically be just too much? Sure. But we're talking about a very, very, very small amount of the population. And really, research says about 49%, half of people, are really ambivalent about the names. The name is what the name is.
So for a large company, is this money well spent for blowing out an advertising budget? Or would this even, what percentage of an advertising budget would this be for American Family Insurance?
Well, and again, we're talking about a very large company that does have a significant advertising budget. And even though we're talking about, you know, a couple million dollars a year, they're spending beyond that in their advertising. You know, I don't want to say this is a drop in the bucket. You know, it's not. It's a big investment. But certainly, this is a company that has a very large multi-million dollar advertising budget. It's not like they're spending 80% of their marketing budget on this. You know, this is just one piece of a very, very large puzzle.
We saw this GoFundMe campaign come up in opposition to the potential Miller Park name change. It has a $30 million goal, and so far it's raised a whopping $15. The idea being that money will somehow be used to keep the Miller Park name. I take this as not going to work so well?
Probably not, no. And I think that's a good illustration that people turn to Twitter and tools like that to vent. And they like to vent. It's a good emotional outlet to vent. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't, you know, go anywhere. And people really, they don't care. You know, that's, the general consumer is not going to say, well, I'm going to refuse to go see the Brewer because I don't like American Family Insurance. You know, yeah, that one person may exist in the universe, but chances are it's a non-starter. I actually find that GoFundMe thing kind of humorous because it does illustrate this whole idea that, yes, people will talk about it, people will get upset, but, you know, everyone seems to understand the business of advertising. And as consumers in 2019, we're used to these types of sponsorship deal, and we know that that's just the part of business. Consumers accept that, and really, they're fine with it.
So here we are in Wisconsin. We've got the Pfizer Forum, Miller Park, the now-demolished BMO Harris-Bradley Center. All of the pro sports stadiums have sponsorships, but then there's Lambeau
Except
Field.
Lambeau.
I
yep,
know,
yep,
hanging yep. out there. So they're bucking a trend. Do you see the possibility of that stadium's name changing at some point in the future?
Well, let's see how the Packers do. Yeah, yeah. At the end of the day, it is about money. And as long as the Packers are, you know, generating revenue in other ways, they're not going to put their naming rights out there. But if something were to happen, and again, it wouldn't be something, they could have a bad season. That one bad season, even two or three bad seasons, wouldn't be enough. Their brand is so strong with the public that we'd have to see something over many, many years, a big trend. They'd have to start losing money before they'd ever, you know, put Lambeau naming rights up there. But at the end of the day, they're still a business. And if they're losing money, the naming rights to Lambeau Field would be worth a lot of money. And if they needed a cash infusion, absolutely that would be on the table. But I think for the most part, Lambeau is going to stay Lambeau.
They just don't need it, but you can never say never.
You can never say never, but they've got a pretty solid business plan going on, so I don't think they're going to rock that boat.
So American Family Insurance locked into a 15-year deal here with the Brewers. You know, why is that significant? Why do they put 20 years or 15 years around these parameters around a sponsorship names?
Yeah, that's a big question as to why was it 15. Now, interesting enough, the Brewers actually only have a 10-year deal left on their contract to stay at the stadium. So in theory, the last 5 years could be a little crazy. But, I mean, I don't think the Brewers are going to go anywhere. So I that's almost kind of a non-issue in this. But it's a little interesting, you know, piece in the cog. And maybe that could be the reason why is, if something were to happen and the Brewer said, you know what, we're going to leave Milwaukee at the end of our contract, that would give, you know, American Family some time to get out of the deal and at least not be locked in for another 10, 20 years beyond that uncertain future. That's, I mean, and again, why they chose 15 years, that's, we don't know. But that would be my guess, is it's kind of a safety net just in case something were to happen to the Brewers that they're not continuing to pay for naming rights to something that, you know, may not be there anymore. So, but again, I'm glad they did 15 years. You know, you hear about these 2 or 3 year deals in some of the other stadiums, and that's not a good idea. It does take some time for this to sink in. You know, they say 5 to 7 years, really, for people to let it sink in.
Well, the thing that I see in my mind's eye on these stadiums is when that blimp goes by the name of that stadium emblazoned on the side there and you see it from up in the air, mm-hmm. that is to me where that marketing impression in my mind resides during yep. games when we go to the blimp level. But where yep. else is that impression in the stadium, and how many places do we see that name?
Well, it'll be all over the stadium, except for the beer, because Miller still gets the right to pour their beer at the stadium. So Miller is still making money on this deal. Mm. It will be in there. I mean, it'll be on signage within the stadium, so if people walk around, it's going to have signage. It'll be on the tickets. There'll be merchandising. You know, that's a lot of people don't think about this. T-shirts and baseball caps and all that may be available. And you know, some of it may even be, you know, given out to fans for free, because that's a good marketing opportunity. Now you're walking around with a corporate name on your back, and that's always you turn the consumer into a walking billboard for your company, and it's always a good thing. So, I mean, it will be there. Plus, there's always the residual that you'll get from, like, the games themselves. When they're on the radio or on the TV, they're going to mention the stadium. If it's on TV, they're going to see the American Family logo and, you know, wherever it's positioned around the stadium. Of, you know, the big question here, though, is what exactly are they going to call it?
Mm-hmm. That was, you know, that you were like getting to my final and prized question here. I'm holding out on you. So what is your prediction?
Well, and that it's hard to say. I mean, American Family Insurance Stadium, that's a mouthful. Mm-hmm. So you know, their nickname is AmFam, mm-hmm. but whether or not that's a strong enough branded nickname to apply that to a stadium, that's a little questionable. So I think it'll probably be American Family Stadium is my guess. You know, they may leave the word insurance out. You know, that's a few more syllables. But, you know, again, I'm sure they're going to do some research between now and then as to what the public will accept.
So you're going for conservative traditional.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that really needs to flow off the tongue.
Safe bet in the insurance world.
Yeah, it is an insurance company. That's probably going to be what they're going to do.
Well, this has been fun, Steve. Thanks so much for joining us.
Cool. Thank you.
Steve,
have a good morning.
You too. Steve Knoll is a marketing professor at Madison College. We've been talking about Madison-based American Family Insurance taking over naming rights to Miller Park. Coming up next, with temperatures and wind chills reaching historic lows this week, we check in with two guests about warming centers in Wisconsin and the services they provide. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It cannot be overstated. We are in the throes of a nasty week of winter weather. Governor Tony Evers has declared a state of emergency because of the ongoing winter storm and the dangerous wind chills that will blanket the state the rest of the week. We're going to talk about the weather, but some more importantly, how to stay warm and safe. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're getting hit with the coldest air we've had in 5 years. Wind chill values are expected to be less than 35 degrees below zero at times. How are you coping with this cold? Are you concerned about getting frostbite because you work outdoors? Do you work in the ER? Are you bracing for more patients with exposure? 800-642-1234. Join the conversation by email at ideas@wpr.org. Let's bring in two guests. Maijer Mua is the 211 Director and Community Impact Associate for Housing for United Way of Marathon County. Maijer, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. It's great to be on.
And Emily Kenny is the Program Director of Coordinated Entry at Impact for the Milwaukee Continuum of Care. Emily, thanks for being here.
Sure. Good morning.
Well, Maijer, starting with you, tell us where you are, where these warming shelters are, and what they are.
I am located in Wausau, so central part of Wisconsin, and as part of our work, we work closely with the emergency management offices in our region, as well as the Marathon County Health Department, to ensure that there are access points to getting information about warming sites. And so I should first begin with making just the distinguish warming sites from warming shelters, in that there are warming sites that are available in Marathon County, and it may be true for other parts of the state, in which individuals and families who may be seeking temporary shelter from the cold can go to a public location or to an office and be in a warm place for a couple of hours. And then there are warming shelters that operate as homeless shelters that may be opened 24/7 or may have limited hours, and their target population is individuals and families that are experiencing homelessness, and they may have nowhere else to go during this frigid cold weather. So to ensure that people have an idea or know what resources are available, whether they're homeless or just needing temporary shelter, it's really important to either reach out to their county emergency management office or 211 to get that information.
And Emily, let's bring you into the conversation now. From where you are, where are the warming sites, the warming shelters? What are the resources where you are?
Yes, so I am in Milwaukee County, And all year long, we have emergency shelters that are open for people experiencing homelessness. But then in the wintertime, we have additional warming rooms that come on site, and those are groups that run things during the day. Like, we have a day shelter that also opens its doors at night. And then we have churches that step up and volunteer to open up their doors at night. And so those warming rooms are sprinkled throughout the county. And then we have groups that open up additional warming centers during the day. Salvation Army is the biggest one that does that. So we open up the warming rooms in December, so December 1st. And they're usually open at 20 degrees or below. And then they close around March 31st when things are warming up.
Do you see that they're being used? Are they at capacity, or is there still room?
So we do have some space available, and we've got, thankfully, volunteers coming on every week, it seems, to open up their doors. So, but they are fuller than usual because it is cold, and we're seeing people go inside that in the past maybe haven't and said, yes, I'm going to stick out this winter.
Meijer, how do you reach people who really need to use these spaces? How are you getting the word out?
We have, in terms of our partnership with local emergency management offices, they've been releasing media releases to ensure that the information is disseminated and shared with the public. And then what we do on our end is if people are looking for a warming site or a homeless shelter to stay during the week, they can dial 211. And because of our partnership with our local emergency management offices, we have the information readily available to provide it to them. So those are the ways that we've been operating in terms of getting the information out to the public.
We're talking about warming sites, warming shelters with Meijer Mua. She is the 211 Director and Community Impact Associate for Housing for the United Way of Marathon County. Emily Kenny is here as well, Program Director of Coordinated Entry at Impact for the Milwaukee Continuum of Care. You can join this conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you ever relied on a warming site, a warming center in your community to get through a cold spell of weather? What did this service mean to you? Do you volunteer or work for a warming shelter where you live? What have you seen when it comes to the needs of people using these spaces? 800-642-1234 is the number to call in to share your experience. Emily, this is part of a larger conversation about housing needs, and some of the people using these warming shelters are homeless or struggling with a housing crisis. How is this part of the challenge that we face when it comes to adequate and affordable housing?
Yeah, so thank you for that question. Most of my job focuses on helping people get into permanent housing, which is really the solution to homelessness. So we need warming centers, we need emergency shelters, we need places where people can go when they have an emergency and they don't have a place to live tonight. But the broader conversation and the broader solution is to make sure that people have access to safe, stable, and affordable housing, regardless of background or income, so that we make sure that people are indoors and can work on the things that we all need to work on, like employment and figuring out how you're a part of the broader community. Those kinds of things can only happen when you're inside housing. And so while it's certainly on people's minds a lot when it's cold that there are people who are homeless, it's something that we're working year-round to make sure that there is adequate, affordable housing for everyone.
How do you think Milwaukee is doing in the area of affordable housing, and what are you seeing?
So in 2015, Milwaukee County, the county exec, launched what was called the Chronic Initiative, which was a plan with extra funding put toward housing people who are chronically homeless, which is a HUD definition that someone has been literally homeless in the shelter on the street for more than a year. And since that initiative was launched, we have reduced homelessness. So our point-in-time count, which is an annual count of people who are experiencing literal homelessness, has gone down from about 1,400 in 2015 to around 800 in our last count in 2018.
That's significant.
So we have, yes, significantly reduced homelessness. We still have a long ways to go. And we recognize that this is a subset of the entire population. We need to make sure that we have solutions for anyone experiencing homelessness, regardless of how long that has been. But we have the blueprint for how to do that, which is to have housing first, wrap services around that person once they're in affordable housing to make sure that they don't become homeless again.
Meijer, what do you see in your community when it comes to homelessness? Because you just conducted the national point-in-time count.
That's correct. Similar to Milwaukee, we do have an issue related to homelessness, but certainly it's at a different scale. And last week we conducted our point-in-time count, and six individuals were identified as living out in the environment during that overnight count. And it's not to provide us an accurate count of how many individuals were actually homeless, but it provides us with a snapshot of what homelessness looks like, offering us another perspective to understand what the issue looks like in our community. Comparing January 2019 count number to 2018, we identified two more individuals. So in 2018 of January, four individuals were counted compared to six this year.
And these point-in-time surveys, you really fan out there and go to as many places as possible to get an accurate count?
Correct. So United Way of Marathon County facilitates, coordinates the Housing and Homelessness Coalition, which is comprised of volunteers, for-profit, nonprofit entities. And volunteers were grouped into teams of four, and they were given designated areas within the Wausau greater area, in the greater Wausau area, to canvass and to see if they run into anybody who is homeless. And so we try to broaden the geographical area in which we canvass. Of course, rural areas are a bit more challenging in that being able to identify which specific areas would work for us to send volunteers versus the metropolitan area in which we're more familiar as to where individuals might be spending the night or living out in the environment.
We're talking about warming sites, warming shelters. Meijer Mua is the 2-1-1 director and community impact associate for United Way of Marathon County. Emily Kenny stays with us as well from Impact for the Milwaukee Continuum of Care. You can join in. We'll be back to the conversation in a minute on the Ideas Network.
In WPR weather, a wind chill warning goes into effect tonight through Thursday at noon. Partly to mostly cloudy today, windy, scattered flurries, highs from zero to the low single digits with wind chills of 30 to 50 below zero late in the day. Wednesday, partly to mostly sunny, some flurries, windy and dangerously cold, highs from the negative teens to the negative single digits and wind chills of 40 to 50 below zero. You're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we check in on the health of Wisconsin's economy in 2019 and look at what sectors may be particularly exposed to economic headwinds like the trade war. That's coming up on the Ideas Network after 7. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. How are you getting by in this extreme cold? Are you concerned about paying your heating bill? Have you used a warming center? The last polar vortex to hit the U.S. was 5 years ago. We're finding out how to cope with this Arctic wave that has wrapped the upper Midwest in numbing cold this week. Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can go ahead and email ideas at WPR.org. Maijer Mua is the 211 Director and Community Impact Associate for Housing for United Way of Marathon County. Emily Kenny is with us as well, Program Director of Coordinated Entry at Impact for the Milwaukee Continuum of Care. Emily, when talking about these warming sites and warming shelters, are they an ability, an inroads, if you will, to talk with people you may not be able to see otherwise during the year and be able to get them additional services during this time?
Absolutely, yes. So we have street outreach teams that are going out every night of the week all year long, but it is difficult to engage with somebody fully when you're, you know, under a bridge or, you know, in a place that is not confidential, and it might be cold or it might be really hot. So being inside a warming room gives an indoor place to sit down and have a broader, longer conversation about what the person's service needs are, what they want for housing, and then to fill out paperwork and get applications going. So when the warming rooms are open, we have outreach workers, and Coordinated Entry has some team members that go to the warming rooms as well to engage with people either in the evening when people come in or in the morning after they wake up to have those conversations.
Maijer, what kind of work is being done in the community where you are to make sure that we're getting everyone that is at risk for being outside during this cold, and because rural areas are more of a challenge?
Correct. Absolutely. And for this part of the region of Marathon County, the warming sites and our warming shelter are located in the Wausau area, and so it does present that challenge for those who are in the rural areas who may be needing temporary or long-term shelter from the cold or to be in a safe place. That said, the Wausau Warming Center, which is which runs out of the Wausau Catholic Charities office, they have extended their hours from today until, I believe, tomorrow, in which anybody can stop by at the warming center for a few hours to stay warm. However, they're targeting individuals who are homeless. And similar to what Emily had shared, one of the benefits of having people go to these warming sites or warming shelters is that they may be bringing their stories with them in which they haven't shared with anybody. And so this provides an opportunity for advocates to work with individuals and get to the heart of why they are there in the first place. Is it because their heater stopped working and they just needed a temporary place, or that they were in a bad relationship and now they don't have a place to stay? And the warming center staff are able to do an assessment and get them connected with local resources and get them into permanent housing if needed. If they need winter clothing, there's winter clothing available, as well as food and other types of resources to ensure that they are in the best place possible before they leave, or as they remain in the warming shelter, that they are being tend to and that their needs are being met to the best of the ability of the staff at the center.
I want to ask both of you this question. Emily, I'll start with you. What donations are needed? What volunteerism is needed at this time? How can people help?
Yeah, so there are two main components to keeping a warming room open. The first is that these are sites that are not usually open for 24 hours. And so with this increase, there's an increase in need for funding to pay for things that we might not think of, like the water bill goes up and heat bill. But then also volunteers to help out the the staff to, so there are staff at each site, but then volunteers to help with, you know, getting meals on the table and showers going and things like that. And so the United Way for Milwaukee County and Waukesha counties has a fundraising page through HandUp. So if you go to handup.org and then /campaigns/UWGMWC, so United Way of Greater Milwaukee and Waukesha Counties, you can donate. And then if you're interested in volunteering on the city, county, Milwaukee Continuum of Care page, there's information about each one, and you can contact them directly to find out how to volunteer.
And that link will be on our website, by the way. You can find it on the morning show page on WPR.org. Mizer, going back to you, when you look at the needs at the Wausau Warming Center, how can people help?
What they are needing right now, what the Warming Center in Wausau is needing right now, are volunteers to help staff during the extended hours in which the center will be opened. They are also seeking food donations ranging from breakfast food to lunch items to snacks. And for those who are more fortunate, in which we have a home to return to, as I would encourage, as people are out shopping, getting ready for the frigid cold weather, is to maybe purchase a couple cans of food or a couple boxes of granola bars and drop them off at their homeless shelter. It may also be good to call in advance to see what specific needs they may have as you make your way out to the grocery store, so that you can also help to ensure that those who are at the warming shelters are getting the basic necessities needed.
Mizer, if there isn't a warming shelter in someone's area, what do you suggest they consider if they need a warm and safe place to go? What are some examples of those places?
Yeah, for communities that may not have an established warming center, if they have a grocery store that may be open 24/7, or maybe even a hospital in the northern part of the region in which we serve, such as Oneida and Violet, there are grocery stores and hospitals, even in Marathon County, public libraries in which they are opening their doors to serve as a warm place for those who need shelter temporarily.
Emily, what are you watching for in the coming days, and what is your toughest challenge right now?
Well, so right now, it is, as you can imagine, we're just trying to make sure that everybody gets indoors. We have teams of volunteers and outreach workers offering to get people rides to places indoors where they can stay warm. And so all of our focus right now is on keeping people safe and alive while it is this cold. And then we hope to continue to have those larger conversations about housing, so that we don't have anybody outside, regardless of weather, and that they can be indoors and working on being the best person that they can be, which is something that housing provides.
Well, certainly this weather is an inroads to talking about housing because of this frigid temperature and the awareness of homelessness.
Yes.
Well, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Mizer Mua is the 211 Director and Community Impact Associate for Housing for United Way of Marathon County. We also spoke with Emily Kenny. She's Program Director of Coordinated Entry at Impact for the Milwaukee Continuum of Care. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This conversation is on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.